Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We have the real possibility today, and I don't say this often, of having a good show.
What?
There is some promise here right at the start. It begins with Billy bagging a whale. We can't yet get to Jose Canseco because there's something else I want to talk about here. We've got a content day for you today beyond the radio show. Mystery Crate is going out later tonight. That is shocking. I just think it's shocking. And Mike Ryan just got finished doing a local hour here where he talked to the former Marlins president David Sampson about just general craziness behind the scenes. The function that Sampson serves for our show is he is a haywire executive who actually says a lot of different things. And no matter how dishonest people might think he is because of some of the things that he did to Miami, these stories that he tells from the underbelly of sports, they all ring totally true. Like, they don't have a lot of holes in them. And so Mike just got done talking to David Sampson. And Mike was saying when I came in here that his conversations with Sampson on this front are some of the best work that he has done, because he's unmining these unbelievable stories from 20 years ago and the last time many people in our audience cared about baseball, where names are being moved and stuff that you'd be surprised by. So go ahead, Mike. I don't want to say anymore because I didn't even hear it. I just saw how excited you were about it.
Well, when talking to Sampson, the great stories just sort of naturally come out, so much so that I was like, I need to start getting organized and focused to really maximize the amount of stories that we could tell. So over the last few weeks, as we've been under this pandemic, they've been hyper-focused episodes, each one each week with David Sampson, focusing on a single topic. The Miguel Cabrera one was fascinating. We've done really good ones. And this week's episode is about John Henry, the present owner of Liverpool and the Boston Red Sox, who owned the Marlins once, and the wholesale, complicated, between Major League Baseball, Jeffrey Loria, and John Henry, in which Sampson and Loria got the Marlins. It's a fascinating discussion. You find out so many amazing things, like how Vlad Guerrero, Jose Vidro, and Javier Vasquez almost came with the ownership group to Florida, how John Henry wanted to take Miguel Cabrera and Josh Beckett with him to Boston. Fascinating stuff about the inner workings. We take you inside the owners' meetings with Bud Selig and how mad Bud Selig was at what John Henry became since. But there is a sticking point to the deal between John Henry and Jeffrey Loria, all negotiated by David Sampson, circling around.
Does he have the notes on everything?
He has the notes. He takes meticulous notes. There's binders everywhere in his house, like John Doe in Seven.
Wow. Okay. Kevin Spacey in Seven. So he is reading from notes. He is giving you information because, Stugatz, the one thing I did hear from Mike that made me laugh is, and I still don't understand it, so perhaps he'll explain it, is that a John Henry negotiating technique. John Henry, the owner of the Boston Red Sox, owner of the Boston Globe, owner of a whole lot of rich people things, that evidently he can't cry tears, and so he has to use an eyedropper, and he uses it to intimidate people in negotiations because it's disorienting. It's something a Bond villain would do.
Yes. It's one of his go-to moves. There's so many interesting nuggets here in all of it, but there is this super souped-up rock star-like bus that became almost a deal breaker, that had John Henry enraged at a black tie event and had David Sampson, we know how stubborn he could be, willing to walk away and blow up the biggest deal at the time in Major League Baseball history.
A multi-million dollar bus.
Yes, a crazy bus that Sampson and Loria get in the deal. Ultimately, Major League Baseball makes it happen. How David the story around this bus is insane, because the bus rears its head once again by the time Loria is willing to sell to Jeter's ownership group.
Does Jeter know about the bus?
Find out on today's Local Hour what happens with this bus.
And Jeter?
And Jeter, who might be finding out for himself
during this Local Hour. Jeter got sandbagged. You don't want to give away too much.
It is the stuff of comedy. The screenwriters couldn't write a better payoff to what happens with this bus. Just listen to the Local Hour when it goes out today. Next week, we're going to do an entire episode on the Montreal Expos and talk about Puerto Rico and how contraction actually works. The Sampson episodes of the Local Hour, as you mentioned, I feel so passionate about. It's probably the best work I've ever done.
They're good stories. They are good stories at a different time in baseball for many of us on this show, although not Billy and Chris.
Dan, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Mike originally hate the idea of us having Sampson on weekly?
Well, but Scott, I don't love it. Like, I've gotten to know David Sampson as a person, but that's not a great look for us in Miami. I don't blame any Miamian that thinks it's dirty for me as a journalist in this town for so many years to be using this guy who ends up getting $1.2 billion from the city because he's better at business than most people are, and he just took advantage of our Banana Republic politicians down here, and he got a stadium built, and I don't blame anyone in South Florida for thinking that he's all manner of despicable because of that. But good God, is he a content machine. He's a content machine, Stugatz. Like,
I know.
When he's talking about these stories, they're just not stories you ever get access to, because these are the things with the rich people that none of us ever find out about.
I know. I don't blame anyone either. I am just saying, you and I knew he was a fountain of content, and Mike used to fight us on having him on, and it seems like Mike is enjoying that fountain of content, and the Stugatz is strong in it. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, so much. But I do articulate it. I appreciate you mentioning it, but we almost have that discussion with David Sampson every week about how uncomfortable I am. It actually leads to an interesting dynamic, because I also don't let him paint such a rosy picture of it either. The bull bleep doesn't necessarily fly so much, and I still hold a grudge against David Sampson for some of the stuff that he did. But in the wake of a pandemic, man, I am grateful for these stories.
Stugatz, but this is why, to me, the dynamic works, even though, again, I will mention again, I totally understand if South Florida totally hates the fact that we are still lending a platform to this particular person. But what I wanted to say about that, because I feel like people need to understand it, when Billy and Mike question Sampson, it doesn't sound like you've ever heard journalists question anybody, because Billy and Mike know where the bodies are buried. They know where the manure would be, and so they can sniff out BS, and the immediate follow-ups make for something that is good content, because he is hard to be more slippery than, but he doesn't tell things that feel like they're not true, though, Stugatz. Like, that's the part, one of the parts that's tricky about the whole thing is that many people think of this as simply a sleazy liar, but these stories have so much truth in the details that he would have to be an unfathomable liar in order for these stories not to be true, because they just have too many details that can be verified.
Yeah, and he doesn't really care about the spots that he puts other people in. We actually had an awkward situation last week where he was weighing consequences and was speechless for the first time. But Red Sox fans are going to want to hear this because John Henry is sort of a beloved owner, brought a championship to them. Liverpool fans, John Henry, they're one of the great soccer teams now. Boston Red Sox Nation, you weren't first choice. You find out in this episode that he didn't want the Red Sox. He wanted the Angels. And also I found out that the Angels were once owned by Gene Autry. It's a fascinating local hour.
That's right. Yeah, Gene Autry. And we made fun of Pat Sajak a long time ago for still having Gene Autry's contact. I think the Cowboys, Stugatz. Isn't he nicknamed the Cowboy? I thought you'd jump in there with Gene Autry the Cowboy.
I mean, that's a pretty old demographic.
I don't know.
I might miss Stugatz there, too.
Gene Autry. Wait, how did you know that? Hold on. I want to check on it. I mean, really?
Disney purchased the Angels from the Autry estate.
He was a very famous person at the time.
He's a song and dance man.
Sports royalty, entertainment royalty.
He was the singing cowboy.
Ah.
There you go. We've got to get to this Mystery Crate thing as well. And Billy, on a couple of fronts. He has bagged the whale. Jose Canseco is going to join us at 12:30. This is us landing Bigfoot. We finally get to ask him about this excursion that we were trying to get on with the Bigfoot, with Bigfoot and the aliens. And also Billy has, muttered under his breath before we started talking, unusedgiveaways@gmail.com is going about as poorly as expected. So we'll get to that, with Billy next.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Today on ESPN Daily, the NFL offseason is mostly in the books, and ESPN NFL guru Bill Barnwell is here to rank every team's moves. How does your team stack up? Hear more on ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. These days, we have to travel smart. Marathon can help by improving engine performance with quality top-tier gasoline. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast.
Tony Hawk going to join us at 11 a.m. and Jose Canseco is supposed to be at 12:30. Now, I think I know Billy enough, Stugatz, to know that whatever his enthusiasm for having landed Jose Canseco, because you know, this show doesn't actually finish or accomplish anything. Billy was going to go on that tour with Jose Canseco to look for Bigfoot and aliens, because Canseco said he could take you to them, and it just fell apart, like everything does with our show. We'll get to unusedgiveaways@gmail.com in a second.
Like everything does with Canseco. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, and so, Billy, what is your state now? Are you even allowed to have some joy as a creature that doesn't do a lot of that and is always looking for the next fear, or are you simply worried, and Stugatz has been here, that 2 hours from now we're going to keep building up to the Jose Canseco interview and he's not going to be there?
I have a number of concerns regarding this Jose Canseco interview. I will say that when the confirmation came through, I was shocked and delighted that it happened. And then immediately I went into reality mode, which is 12:30 is such a hard time because if we miss 12:30, we can't really push it back to any other time. So we really need to get it done like at 12:30 or there's going to be an issue. And then I was going back and forth. Should I put this out on the internet? Because if I put this out on the internet and it doesn't happen, I'm going to look like an idiot. Or if I put it out on the internet, could we possibly spook him away and have him change his mind about it?
Okay. So of course, where we arrive is that he is overthinking everything regarding Jose Canseco. This is just the beginning of your fears though, right? There are even more here, right, Billy?
Well, of course. Yes, there's more because Then let's say everything does go perfect and Jose does appear and he's on time and we get an interview with him. Jose's had a couple things go on in his life that I'm worried Dan may bring up and scare Jose off and ruin this relationship with Jose Canseco. They could become a budding friendship.
Okay, hold on a second, Billy. Your sound just petered out there, so we don't know what happened. It's part of the continuing struggles with what it is that we're doing here. But go ahead and finish what it is that you were saying. Mike was able to fix it over on this end. Forgive the interruption.
Well, I'm concerned that if Jose does come here on time and we do have him on, you like to kind of push the envelope sometimes with some people, Dan. I'm worried that you may ruin a budding friendship that we could have with Jose Canseco, which could take us to all kinds of delightful places, but he's hard to get. And if you just scare him off on the first date, it may not go well for us.
You know what? That is excellent advice. And what I am telling you and the audience is I will do a totally playful, no hard questions interview with Jose Canseco where we just try. Look, I've known this dude for a long time. We talk to him about once every decade. Can you explain, Billy, to the audience what your infatuation with Jose Canseco is and why it is that you are so excited about the possibility of having him 2 hours from now, even though you fear that possibility and think you'll probably fail?
Well, before we get to that, I'd just like to say we definitely need to talk to him about the labor situation in Major League Baseball because that seems to be what he wants to talk about. So at least one question about that, and we'll get Jose's opinion on how the players and, you know, owners should deal with that. I love Jose Canseco because he's awesome. He's from Westchester, which is where I'm from in Miami. There was a Jose Canseco street right by my house until they took that honor away from him and they renamed it 16th Street. They didn't even give it another name. They just took Jose's name off of the street.
In disgrace, and, right? Yeah.
Well, you know, who's to say why? Politics, you know?
Okay, so you don't want me saying anything about disgrace during this interview. That street sign was taken down because, for whatever reason, that region of our country didn't want to be affiliated with Jose Canseco's name anymore, even though he should be one of the proudest athletes in the history of South Florida.
False. False. I wouldn't say that the region of the country wanted nothing to do with Jose Canseco. I'd say a couple county commissioners wanted to grandstand. So they did a little thing, and they took his name off of the sign.
Well, how about this? Do you want to do the Canseco interview? Like, because why'd you get so scared? Like, I'm totally fine with you doing it as soft as you like, and just we can delight in having Jose Canseco.
If I may, the next 2 hours for Billy are going to be very stressful. I think Billy should do it. They're going to be very stressful. When you consider Billy's personality, Dan, you're so right, and Canseco being a wild card. I remember there were times with Terrell Owens where I couldn't focus on the show. I was just praying that the phone, he did a weekly show with us, that the phone would ring at a certain time every week to ensure that we would get Terrell Owens. Now, if Billy can handle both, I think that's absolutely the way we should go. If he can handle both sets of stress.
He's already waving a Mutombo finger at me, and the fear has swept over him in ways that have changed the color on his face. Go ahead, Billy. Close us out here.
No. Okay. You have to handle it today, Dan, because Jose Canseco tweeted about you and came on to talk to you. Now, if I could come in here and there, maybe I'll be happy to do that. Stugatz can do that. But I'm hoping, just between us, that this could become one of those things where you say, see you tomorrow, Jose. And then we just talk to Jose all the time and he becomes our friend. Okay. And then we can get everything.
All right. Let's continue to work this angle and see if we can get Jose Canseco as close as a professional to a professional wrestler as we've ever had in sports. What? I love him. I love him. He's a cartoon character.
Oh, God.
He brought down the sport.
Oh, jeez. It's over before it started.
The only truth teller. The only truth teller out there.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. We love sports. Sports inspire us. They give us hope in ourselves, in the world, and, of course, in amazing comebacks. Our love for sports grows each day. Dear Sports is our love letter to sports. Share your Dear Sports letter with us. Call 860-506-6161 or share a video or text using the hashtag Dear Sports on Twitter or Instagram. Here's your SportsCenter update. The NHL and the NHL Players Association are discussing a 24-team conference-based playoff format in two hub cities for a potential restart to the 2019-2020 season this summer. Well, summer hockey. Denny Hamlin won the NASCAR Cup Series at Darlington 310, which was stopped with 20 laps to go due to rain. It was NASCAR's first race on a Wednesday in 36 years. And finally, Korean soccer team FC Seoul are facing penalties, including expulsion from their own stadium for putting sex dolls on empty seats during a match last weekend. About 25 dolls were supplied by a local company dressed in FC Seoul colors and wearing masks. If found guilty, FC Seoul could be fined about $4,000 or have points deducted. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Stugat, I think that you may have read old news there with the sex dolls, because I read that the team has already been fined $81,300, which seemed pretty extraordinary to me. Plus, you throw in the cost of the sex dolls. That couldn't have been cheap. So this is a $100,000 crime now, the accidentally putting sex dolls in the audience in South Korea.
I just read what they put in front of me, Dan, and I was unaware that you knew the hefty price of sex dolls. Wow.
$81,300 is the fine. That's the hefty price over there. And I imagine that sex dolls aren't cheap. I imagine if you're using cheap sex dolls, you're really a deviant. You need to use the expensive ones.
I am not going to Google the price of sex dolls. Like, I don't know what would be worse, doing it from a home computer where my wife could see it or doing it from a corporate computer where my bosses could see it. I don't know.
It's a sports story. I mean, it's clearly a sports story. It's one of the few sports stories we have. I think you should look up how much sex dolls cost so that we can find out what kind of crime it is we're talking about. If they were indeed fined $81,300, as was reported, they've been doing this in South Korea. I felt bad, Stugatz, legitimately bad, for what I believe to be the worst assignment in the history of Boog Shambi's career. These 1 and 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. Broadcasts of Korean baseball, where behind home plate, there are very much fake fans. And yeah, it's ridiculous. And Boog is narrating these games from, you know, his home in a desolate New York, a million miles away, at 3, 4, and 5 in the morning. And so because South Korea is one of the few places that has successfully brought back sports already, as our country is sort of rushing to do so, and some of this stuff feels super scary, they've already got a what I believe to be a $100,000 controversy on their hands if they've been fined the $81,000. So what does a sex doll cost, Stugat?
I mean, they could start on the high end sex dolls, which is what I'm assuming we're dealing with here, roughly $6,000.
I mean, see what I told you? It was just a guess. I was just assuming that you have to pay top price for that sort of thing. Yeah. I want to get to Billy here. I want to get back to Billy because, first of all, there are some people saying, Billy, that Jose Canseco is not a big get, that we're making too much of this. That's right. That's exactly Like, what? That's it. Like, you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You don't know anything about life or sports, sir. It's a lame insult. It's one I get all the time. You don't know anything about basketball. I'm never hurt by it because, I mean, what kind of lame insult? Is that okay? Whatever. You don't think I know anything about basketball, but you don't know anything about sports if you don't know that Jose Canseco is a huge get. We've said before on this show, at the time of Michael Jordan, the guy you guys are all fawning over here for the last couple of months, he was a comparable star. Like, he had for one brief minute there when they intersected, because Michael Jordan was not yet what he would become,
Jose Canseco and Michael Jordan were sort of neck and neck for biggest athlete in America.
But Dan, even today, if Billy came to you and said you could have Jordan at 12:30 or Canseco at 12:30, who you taking?
I think I'd take Canseco.
I think you would.
I think I'd take Canseco. Now everybody would be hugely mad at me, but yep. Canseco says more. You're gonna get better, weirder content. We'll have Michael Jordan on and all the other. The thing that would tempt you, I would imagine, Stugatz, is that all the news agencies would pick it up. Cause 25 years later, we're talking exclusively to Michael Jordan about the commercial Nike made on ESPN and Netflix for Michael Jordan. What happened, Billy? Why are you waving your hands at me? You want to defend Canseco here?
There's always a chance that Jose Canseco will say something that news sources will pick up in this interview today.
That's true.
That's always a possibility.
That's true. Well, and if our relationship blossoms from here, if I don't ruin it, it could be an everyday thing. Canseco said this, Canseco said that.
Now, that news source could be the National Enquirer, but a news source nonetheless.
And let's be honest here. An everyday thing with Canseco eventually is going to cost us, maybe you, Dan, some money. I mean, an everyday thing.
He does ask for money sometimes. I guess I'm not allowed to ask about that either, right, Billy? I'm not allowed to ask because that'll ruin the relationship. All right, you got to tell me what's allowed here and what's not allowed. Jose Canseco is going to join us allegedly at 12:30, although Billy is filled with a great deal of fear that he's not going to actually make it. But yesterday, speaking of Billy failures, yesterday we were talking on the show about just mailing, because he was curious. He's like, why all these bobbleheads and where do they go? There's no baseball, all these stupid giveaways. Where do they go? And so I asked to see if major league teams would mail to Billy one item from their stock of unused giveaways, and the email address is unusedgiveaways@gmail.com. I talked yesterday about securing that email as if we'd actually accomplished something. Yeah, but that's how little we accomplish around here, that getting an email, unusedgiveaways@gmail.com, felt like a triumph of the human spirit. And so we asked major league teams to contact Billy for his address so they could send him stuff. And Billy says it went about as poorly as you'd expect. So how poorly did it go?
Well, I have not heard, I don't think, from a single major league team yet. I have heard from a lot of people asking me for things. I've heard from people who can't keep their parts private. I've heard from people offering me their children's Little League jerseys, which doesn't seem like something that they should be giving away or that I would want. I've heard from different companies for shirts, random pieces of lumber that someone salvaged from somewhere.
Wait a minute. Billy, you said bleep picks? Plural? Plural?
I shouldn't have said that because now it's really going to start flooding in. But one person sent multiple.
All right. We update our looks.
Sorry
like
about that.
We update our looks like tournament next.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
If you missed any of our interviews, please check them out on demand in the Dan Le Batard Show podcast, brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Tony Hawk going to join us 11 o'clock Eastern, so about 15 minutes from now or so. Jose Canseco scheduled to join us at 12:30. Billy is very afraid, more afraid than he even usually is. You heard Stugatz just mention there, but we'll get to the looks like tournament as well in a second. Hello, Finney. Good to hear from you.
Morning.
Because we've got a new looks like tournament to go to here, the NIT, which some of you are going to like. Some of the things in here better than even our NCAA tournament. But in saying that there are interviews we want you to check out,
Mike Ryan just produced a local hour interview that has just a lot of juicy stuff in it. Like, for example, that when Derek Jeter was trying to buy the Marlins, the only reason he was trying to buy the Marlins and all he cared about was making sure that A-Rod didn't get the Marlins. Like, that's what made some of the price go up, but that's not the interesting part of the interview. The interview is sprinkled with all sorts of stuff like that, but there's a payoff here at the end on a story, and Mike will tell you where it is you can find that.
Yes, make sure to search The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts on your platform of choice. By the way, if you have subscribed and you just happen to be listening to us in passing and your commute's gone and you're no longer working out at the gym because of everything that's happened, start downloading again so we can get credit for those downloads. We're doing a lot of work and it's menu items. So I want you to search out this local hour, but a little bit later on my social media channels, I'll put out just this story about this bus that was almost a deal breaker for, at the time, the biggest Major League Baseball deal. I promise you, I hate doing this on the air with the overselling, but this is a legitimate
payoff.
It's
a great story.
And you will laugh. You will find this funny. And what happens to the bus after the fact, it has to be heard to be believed.
Stugatz, our future has to involve this bus because of the way that this story goes. We have to figure out a way to be doing things with fans of our show in and around this particular bus because of all of the greasiness that had to happen in order for that bus to, that $2 million John Henry bus. John Henry suffering a very big loss on something he badly wanted. That needs to be something that is Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts adjacent. So we've got to figure out how to do that. Tony Hawk is going to join us here at 11 o'clock Eastern, as I said, and Jose Canseco is going to be at 12:30. Get to that local hour. You'll get the payoff pretty immediately. So here is our Looks Like tournament, Stu Gotts, and I'm just going to be able to have time here to update a few of them. But this, for some reason, I think because Billy likes to bother me, is the East-West region. For some reason, he has called something in the Looks Like tournament of the... Look at that smile on his face. Look, he just... The East-West tournament, sure. What? The East-West region, fine. Okay, so the one
the
seed,
NIT, I mean,
the one seed in the East-West region of the NIT is represented by
Terry Bradshaw. Looks like the middle school janitor that air guitars with his mop.
That is a one overall seed in the East-West region playing against an eight seed here. Who's the eight seed?
Russell Wilson looks like the high school student who conveniently covers the Scantron from the football jock sitting next to him as he tries to cheat.
Number two, the loaded Gardner Minshew conference, the two seed in the East-West region.
Gardner Minshew looks like the camp counselor in charge of the zip line for his 11th consecutive year.
That's very true. That's great. And every year's his last year.
Yes, facing the seven seed, Mike D'Antoni, what's he represented by?
Mike D'Antoni looks like an old West sheriff who's hunting for horse bandits and leans down, smells and tastes the dirt, looks up and says, "They're on their way to Mexico."
The three strong seed is Rob Pelinka, the Rob Lowe lookalike who is running the Lakers now. The three seed in the East-West region is?
Rob Pelinka looks like the guy who cuts in front of your family at the airport gate to ask if there's a separate lounge for Diamond Status members.
That should have been in the big tournament. That's,
yes, it should have been. You're so right about that. Although, Stugatz, this is pretty good for Dolphin fans. Many people, you know what? I'm going to pause for a second and allow many of you to Google Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, just so that you can look at what it is that he looks like. There's been some funny stuff happening, pandemic related, where one of his companies said that no one was allowed to skip rent during the pandemic, but then his Equinox company ends up, you know, slipping out on rent, refusing to pay rent because of the way that rich people are fighting over money and desperation during these times. If you have found what Stephen Ross looks like, yes, Stugatz.
You felt badly for Ross there?
I didn't feel badly for Ross. No, thank you for asking, though. I appreciate it. I was okay. I was okay with that inconsistency being mocked by others. But he looks a certain way, and that's the sixth seed against Rob Pelinka. That certain way is?
Stephen Ross looks like a ventriloquist dummy.
It's very good. He does feel a little bit like he's made of wood and skin that, is for a puppet.
This East-West region.
Very strong. The 4 seed, Matt Patricia, is represented by...
Matt Patricia looks like he eats cereal out of a mixing bowl.
That is so true. And finally, Matt Patricia. This is just the East-West region. Matt Patricia is facing...
Mike Vrabel looks like he takes women to his beer league softball game on a first date.
So the NIT is pretty strong as well, Stugatz. We've still got, a West-West region because look how pleased Billy is with himself.
I love him.
You are simply someone who mocks and adds.